if you have or haven't, you may know. We went up in an altitude chamber one time with a demonstration of how this works, because airline crews don't know how it works, because we ride around in pressurized airplanes. So we never have the cabin over 10,000 feet. Never. You're not allowed to go to an altitude that the airplane will not pressurize to something less than 10,000 feet. And, of course, at 10,000 and below, you can breathe perfect. But anyway, what they did, they give us a demonstration, and they made it real simple. Now, a man, if you take a board about this big with big old half-inch bolts screwed through it, and all he's got to do is pick up right here in a little box and put a great big old half-inch nut starting with the top and go across, that's not a very complex chore, is it? Anybody could do that, right? So you take a guy up to 25,000, and you say, okay, you got an oxygen mask on, and you say, now then, start putting the nuts on. And so he reaches up, picks up one, number one, number two. I mean, this is simple. And then they do an explosive decompression and bring the cabin up rapidly to 25,000. In a matter of a minute, he's already turning a little blue around the mouth. He's already dropping some of the nuts. And after a minute and a half, he can't hardly hold them. And instead of putting them in a line, he's putting them in the middle, down here in the bottom corner. And then when he gets where he can't get them on there at all, you throw the oxygen mask on him and take the deal away. And how are you doing? Oh, fine, fine. How was you doing with the project? Perfect. Did you make any mistakes? No. It was perfect. Did you get them all in a line? Absolutely. And then you hand it to him, and he looks at it, and he says, no, you did that. But we were all standing there watching him. See, now this is what hypoxia does to your brain. Well, then we took one of the girls, of course. Now, what do girls always do? They put on makeup, right? Girls put on makeup. Are they good at what they do? Oh, are they good at what they do? Some of them can drive down the road to drive and look in a mirror and put on makeup and never get it out of place. They're very good at what they do. So we took a girl, and we took her up to 25,000 and told her, okay, as soon as we take the oxygen mask off of you, you are to start putting your makeup on, your lipstick and all this stuff, and give her the little kit right there to do it. And so take the mask off, and she grabs the lipstick and puts it on her lips, you know, and then she's putting the little stuff on her. She's doing a great job for about a minute. And then all of a sudden, she starts dropping the brush. And then instead of getting the eye stuff, she gets the lipstick again. And this time she puts the lipstick over here, down here. She's looking in a mirror, you know. And then all of a sudden she gets woozy. And when she drops the lipstick, you take away the mirror, throw a mask on her. She takes a few breaths. You say, how'd you do? Fine. Did you get anything out of order? No. You put your lipstick on perfect? Absolutely perfect. And so you take the mask away and let her look at herself. And she says, that's not me. I didn't do that. We sat right there and watched her. You see, with the loss of hypoxia to the brain, you don't know what you're doing. And alcohol displaces oxygen to the brain. So I don't care who you are. I don't care how much you've drank in your life. Anytime you drink one beer even, you have a little loss of oxygen to your brain. And your brain cannot react at the same speed it did when you were normal. Now, I've seen people say, oh, I can drink a 6-pack, I can drink a 12-pack, and I have no reaction to it whatsoever. Well, let me tell you. When I was in the Air Force at Rantoul, Illinois, we had a demonstration there of a little machine that you drive. And they tested us and test our reactions. You're driving down the road, you're on this little machine, and all of a sudden a little figure jumps out in front of you. You slam on the brake. And it records exactly how many seconds it took and how much distance you traveled from the time you responded till you stopped. And they would show us how far in front of us somebody had to be for us to stop. Well, we were pretty well all average. And then the man says, now, guys, nobody can do this if you're drinking One of the young men said, I drink all I want to. I could drink a half a dozen beers, and I could do better with beer in me than I could normal. And the guy said, I'll tell you what to do. I want you to run downstairs, and I want you to get two cans of beer down there, and I want you to drink, whatever kind you drink, two cans. Drink them slow, whatever you want to. Take 5 minutes if you want to, 10 minutes. Drink those two beers, and then come back up here, and I'm going to give you the test again. He said, okay, I'll drink two. I'll just show you that I can make the same. He tested him normal. And then he went downstairs and drank two beers, and he came back up, and he gave him another 10 or 15 minutes, and he said, how do you feel? He said, I'm great. I guarantee I can do it. He was a really arrogant little guy, see. Pride was way up to here. I know I can do this. So the guy set him down and started out, and he tested him about 3 or 4 or 5 times, and without fail, he put the deal further in front of him than he normally did. And without fail, the boy ran over the target every time. Every time he ran over that child, if that would have been a child. And he put him out there another 20 yards, what he did for us, for all of us that were normal. And when he gave him the test the first time, I noticed, I thought, hey, you're putting it out there. I thought to myself, you're putting it out there further. And he still ran over it. And I thought, wow, that proves to me that this man knew what he was talking about. So see, it makes no difference who you are. If you have hypoxia to the brain, you don't make good judgment. You know that? You don't make good decisions. I don't care who you are or how much you drink. A body is a human body. And she's telling her son here, if they drink, they may forget their duties and be unable to give justice to those who are oppressed. Now, would you like for a drunk king to judge you? Absolutely not. I would not. But she goes so far as to say, liquors for the dying and wine for those in deep depression. Well, praise the Lord, we have Jesus on this side, so we don't have to worry about that dying part and the pain and the sickness. If we walk in faith, we can walk without pain, and we also don't have to ever be in deep depression because Jesus has paid the price, so we don't have to be depressed anymore. Praise the Lord. Okay, verse 7 and 8. Let them drink to forget their poverty and remember their troubles no more. Now that's a shame that people, there is people today that will drink to forget their poverty, but they'll take what little money they have and invest it in liquor. And usually they take away from their families. And she says they'll drink and they'll forget their poverty and they'll remember their troubles no more. Well, they won't remember them until they wake up the next day. Then you'll remember them again. It only lasts for a little while. Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. Ensure justice for those who are perishing. Now, he's a king. This mother is giving her son good advice. She's telling him to be a just king. Now, you remember when God anointed Solomon as king, he says, Solomon, what do you want? And Solomon thought a minute, and he's a young man. And he said, Lord, I want wisdom to rule your people. He said, that's all you want? He said, yes, Lord. I want wisdom to judge and rule your people. And God says, because you have asked for wisdom, I will give it to you. I will give you wisdom like no other man has ever had. And because you didn't ask for riches and power, I will make you the richest man that's ever been on the face of the earth. And he did, didn't he? See, if you do what's right in God's sight, he's going to bless your socks off with everything. But see, the average young man, I mean, just like Proverbs says, it's a dangerous thing to have wealth come into the hands of a person too young because they'll mess it up every time. You let a father that's left a will and an estate worth $500,000 or $2 million or $5 million, some serious money, to a 16 to 20 year old and doesn't put requirements in there how much he can spend, what will he wind up doing with that estate within a short period of time? He'll blow it and lose it. That's right. The first thing he goes down, if he had a $1 million estate, the first thing he does is go down and buy him some kind of fancy $100,000, $200,000 car. you know, and without rains. And God tells us in the book of Proverbs, it's a devastating thing to give a young man money. Well, he'll ruin it. He'll ruin everything. It'll ruin the young man, too. And, of course, some of them, you know, it's just amazing. Okay, verse 9 and 10. Let's see what this says. Yes, speak up for the poor and helpless and see that they get justice. Okay, this is the advice from this mother to her son, which it was a king. And she had some pretty good sayings to say for him. Then it says, who can find a virtuous and capable wife? Now, she's been talking about women, you know. So she knows there's some good women out there. And we know there's some good women out there, too. Yes, speak up for the poor, but then who can find a virtuous and capable woman? Who can find this woman? If you find her, she is worth more than precious rubies. I'm telling you, they are hard to find, but there's some of them out there. There's some good girls out there, some hard-working, loving women that know who they are in Christ, and they're there to be the helpmate that God sent them to be for their husbands. Now, if you've got one of those, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. There's some of them out there that are good, and there's some of them out there that's not. You know, there's some of them out there that are lousy, let me tell you. There really is some lousy ones. And, you know, I was just thinking about men and women in general. When a man and a woman get married, they got to realize that your wife is never going to be like you, and she's got to recognize that you ain't never going to be like her. So when she starts trying to change you to be like her, that's an impossible task. And when you start trying to change her, that's an impossible task. She is an individual, you're an individual. You need to learn to love each other with that individuality. So that's when people tell me, and I've got a couple different phone calls this last week from pastors that want to talk to me that are having marriage troubles. Isn't that sad? Thurman called me, my wife and I are having problems, and I need an hour of your time. Now, pastors, now this is not just average run-of-the-mill guys. These are men that are standing in a pulpit.
We're going to have to stop right there for today, but we'll start again tomorrow with a teaching. And if you'd like to have these teachings in their entirety, if you would just give us a call, we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. That's at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. And we'll send them to you free and postpaid. Or you can go to our website. You can listen to these teachings again from the website. Or you can get them free and postpaid from www.tlsm.org. www.tlsm.org. That's the Living Savior Ministries. There you can listen to these again, or you can order them free and postpaid, and many other teachings free and postpaid from our website. Praise the Lord Jesus.